Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's the Reality TV The Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar. Because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P.
R-H-A-P.
Reality TV The Happy Hour. Reality TV The Happy Hour.
Big Brother Canada 4 has come to a close, which means it's time for another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. What's going on, everybody? My name's Jordan Parhar, and I'm with you once again to recap the latest edition of Big Brother Canada 4 on robbizwebsite.com with the live feed correspondents, except one, because, you know, I said to Alex Kidwell before this show, I said to him, hey, Alex, you want to come on and be on the Happy Hour tonight? And he was like, yeah, sure. You know, I was going to watch some Angie Tribeca, but, you know, I wasn't 100% sure if I should do that or not. And I said, well, okay. Or Alex, are you sure you want to come on the Happy Hour? Are you sure?
Yes.
He's like, I'm going to go watch Angie Tribeca. See you guys later. So Alex Kidwell is not here tonight, but Brent Waugema and Taryn Armstrong are. So, guys, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you. Happy to be here. Like I said before, I'm repeating myself. I'm in a parallel universe. This is the younger, prettier version of Taryn. Taryn is taking my place tonight as the old and bitter version. Taryn, how are you tonight?
Well, apparently it's my fault that everything happened because I fell in love with Nikki. And so now obviously Nikki needed to go home.
Yes.
We've been through this already, so we don't have to right. rehash how it's my fault.
Yes. Okay. I'm not gonna rehash it. But
So in case you don't understand what's going on, what happened was Brent, Taryn and I, we were on YouTube and we were broadcasting for about 11 minutes, and then we realized nobody was watching it because I guess nobody could access the video. So a little bit of a technical glitch there. So we are on Blab instead of a Google Hangout today. So if you want to get your questions in, no need to tweet them tonight. You can just go into the chat room. It should be on the sidebar of Blab. It should be on the right-hand side of your screen. Type in /Q and then type in your question after that. We will get into your questions later on in the show. Might get into a few of your Twitter questions as well. So if you want to leave one that way, you can too. You can tweet me. I am at Jordan Parhar. Use hashtag RaHappyHour, and we will get into those later on in the show. Okay, guys, this is interesting because I've never had to redo the start of a show before, but let's do it all over again, guys. We got to eulogize Nikki Graham. I am stunned. I'm so shocked. I'm so sad. Brent, you started this season being someone who was not a fan of Nikki.
Right.
But eventually, she really won you over.
She did. And like I said, I think that it's because we got to see the real Nikki, and I've never really seen her before. You know, in all the pre-campaigning, I felt like it was a satirized version of Nikki Graham. I never really felt like I knew who the woman was. And now after watching her on the feeds for a long time and watching the show for a long time, she really let her guard down. There wasn't so much showbiz. It was really the person. And I enjoyed who I got to know for a little bit of time.
Taryn, this had to have been like, was any other way for Nikki to go home other than this situation tonight? Because I feel like, you know, going into this, I thought there's, even though you guys talked about this last week, I thought there's no way Nikki gets evicted before the finale night, at least.
Yeah, I mean, it took a super specific scenario for this to happen. And we actually saw something similar happen last year with Peely, where she went out in a double eviction with very, very specific circumstances being the only way it would have happened. So Big Brother Canada, they hate the sweetheart, you know, person that's ready to go to the end as a final two goat. These circumstances, they're just crazy. Like, you know, the brothers or Kelsey had to win. And then one of Tim or Cass had to win the veto in order for this to happen. Really? I mean, granted, the brothers nominating Tim and Nikki together could have made it happen in the first place. I don't know why they did that. We know. It's 'cause of the brothers.
Yes, because of the brothers and because of the whole international thing. But before we jump into Nikki going home and talk about that whole HOH and that entire situation, Brent, are you sure you want to go talk about the first eviction of the night?
Yes, I want to talk about the first eviction of the night because no one understands what really happened. Only us people who watch the feeds know what happened. Like I said, Jared is a cowardly little bitch. He really is, because he didn't want to give Cass the satisfaction of evicting him. He did not want to give Cass the satisfaction of breaking the tie. Why? I have no idea. I really don't. I don't understand what his deal is with Cass. I guess if you knew somebody for, like, you know, 1 minute and you played with their dog at your mom's house or something, that entails like a whole final two deal or something. But Jared was just the worst tonight. He was the worst Jared. He wasn't even like jealous Jared. He was mean, angry Jared. And, you know, him walking out of the house with those campaign about, and the rationalization of, well, these locks are worth more than $100,000. I said earlier, he was gayer than Raul. He was just pathetic. Like, you're coming into the Big Brother house and you cannot formulate a strategy that doesn't involve doing anything you can to stay in the house. Like, I don't understand that. And then for him to tell Kelsey to vote against him when, you know, the public doesn't understand what's going on. They think Kelsey's making a big move, but we understand that he just didn't want to give Cassandra the satisfaction of breaking the tie. And as I said earlier, I don't understand. He couldn't even formulate sentences. I really think he was drunk. I really do. He couldn't even talk. I don't understand what was going on with him. Well, we have to talk about what happened with the brothers, but I'm
Brent, first off, how dare you? Because, seriously,
how
this
dare
is
I?
The guy. Yeah, how dare you for calling out a guy who referred to himself as the king in the third person? I mean, clearly, you don't have any morals, Brent. You have no morals at all.
Oh, yeah. Stop that, too. Like, I literally, like, go to hell. Like, you're talking about, like, well, I was raised right and I guess you weren't. Like, that was early in the week, but I kind of forgot about that until they re-showed it tonight. And I mean, like, who does he think he is? Like, he was planning on getting rid of Cassandra. He was planning on nominating Cassandra and Tim the previous week. He was working specifically against Cassandra's best interests the previous week when he was trying to get Joel to vote to evict Tim. And he can't own his bullshit.
Brent is fired up. I love it. Taryn, they made it seem like on the episode tonight that really Joel was the swing vote and that Jared really had a chance to survive. Was that the case, or was that just the editing playing some tricks on us?
It was not really the case. I mean, there was the feeds were totally blacked out for the whole kangaroo puppy party. So we never really saw what happened with Joel and Jared. But the next day it was very clear that Joel was very upset, and we didn't really know why for the whole day, cause he wouldn't talk to anyone about it. So there was some concern that, what if Joel is flipping? But this whole thing about him saying it was between his heart and his head, like, I'm not sure I buy that. I don't think anything was telling him to keep Jared. I think that he was upset that Jared said that, that Tim had been talking behind his back, but beyond that, there was no reason for him to do it. And I don't think he ever really came any close.
Yeah. I hate how they have to do that. I get why they do it, but it's just like, you know, it's a done deal. Jared's going home. Like, let's just get to the double. That's the exciting part of the episode. And that for me is what really made this episode. I thought it was a really strong one. Before we move on from Jared, I said this to you guys in our unaired Google Hangout. Oh, I threw it to Taryn. I'll throw it to the both of you. Where does this rank the Jared not cutting his hair to win the veto? Where does this rank in terms of the dumbest moves in the history of Big Brother Canada? Brent, I'll throw it to you first.
Well, it certainly ranks behind yours. I mean, let's just, like, no tea, no shade, but yeah.
We don't need to talk about that.
Okay. We don't need to talk about that.
So you would say it's not at the top, but it's.
No, it's not even close to the top. It's not even close. No, because we don't know. Again, you know, like, I go by Rob's rules. Rob's rules, if you go, you know, turn A, if you turn to the left, or you turn to the right. If Jared turns to the left and cuts his hair, yes, he's safe for this week, but he could have been evicted tonight. I mean, we don't know what would have happened tonight. I mean, anything could have happened. So I don't buy it. You know, he was still a long ways from winning the game. Again, I hate the move to not cut your hair. It's a terrible move. I really would have liked to seen the alternate universe where Cass puts the brothers and Jared on the block. If Jared is on the block, or if she puts Kelsey and Jared up first, if Jared is on the block and feels the heat and is already betrayed by Cass at that point, does he cut his hair then? I want to say yes, but based on what I'm seeing, I think even then he probably doesn't cut his hair.
I based on what he said tonight, I don't know if he would. Taryn, don't you think, though, if Jared survives this, let's say he does win the veto, the brothers go home, and then they go into the double eviction, and it's a bowling competition, which, I mean, you don't really need to be the most physical person ever. I mean, didn't Jerry in BB10 win a competition similar to this for HOH?
Wasn't exactly like this one.
Well, it was like skee ball or something. It just reminded me of
that. Similar rolling a ball into a ball kind of thing.
Yeah, but everybody was doing very bad compared to Nick. Don't you think that Jared could have easily swept that comp?
I certainly would have been up there. But I mean,
so, like, so that would mean this is a pretty dumb move, because if he wins that, he wins the double, then I mean,
you can't look at the, what the comp is to see if it was a dumb move in the past.
Right.
I guess
he would have had to win pretty much every competition from here on out. That doesn't negate the fact that it was a dumb move. I don't care how long you've been growing out your hair. If you win $100,000, you can buy a wig, you know, do whatever. Like, you don't need to not have a haircut in order to keep yourself safe in this game. Like, obviously Cass is going to come after you. Like, there's no other move for her to make. And he said, like, I just didn't think my friend would do that to me. It's just like, come on, dude. Like, not only were you going to do that to her, but this is a game. This is a game with $100,000 as a prize. You don't think she's going to cut you when she knows she can't beat you? Like, come on.
And that's why I hated the, oh, you know, we were raised differently, I guess. It's just like, come on, man. Like, it's 2016. I'm sorry, but you should know the game you signed up for, buddy. Like, this.
Yeah, but that's the thing. He doesn't know the game. He's not a fan of the show. He doesn't respect the game. He really doesn't. He totally is ignorant of the history of Big Brother. He doesn't understand. You know, he said he didn't even really watch Big Brother. He watched a little bit with his folks, and all of a sudden just everything fell into place because he's a really hot guy. And, you know, obviously casting found him, and they said, oh, you'd be great for the show. And he said, okay. And so that's why he's not going to fight for the veto, whereas other people would have. I really do think there are a lot of people out there who would have fought tooth and nail for this veto. Jared is just not one of those people.
I should also say, I think he took after Austin last season, and he wants to be a bitter juror. He told Cass, the game doesn't end when I leave here. There's no way anyone is gonna vote for you in jury if I have anything to say about it. So,
oh man,
right? He doesn't understand. He doesn't understand because he's helping Cass get to the end by saying that. Just like Nikki, when she was walking out the door, she was saying to Joel, you're the winner, and I'll shout it really loud. Well, that's not really going to want to make people want to take Joel to the end. I mean, like, she's totally doing him a disservice at that point. So if you want to do what Mitch did, which was, if these people that I hate get to the end, I'll vote for them so that people will get rid of them.
Yeah, poor Nikki has been telling Tim to his face, yeah, Joel is my first winner. You're my second pick.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Poor Joel. This is not good. I mean, bless Nikki's heart. But
can we move on to the brothers and the stupidity?
Oh, man.
We're getting there, Brett.
Okay.
And now for those of you watching us live, we are now at the portion of the podcast that – we have not talked about on our mysterious Google Hangout. So now Brent, Taryn, and I don't have to fake our reactions. It's a surprise when we say these certain questions. So
I think I did better the second time, to be honest.
I think we actually might have. It's too bad I deleted that video. We can't go back and watch the tape. So let's talk about the Pax Bros winning HOH. Wow, I was Brent's giving the thumbs down. I was stunned. I was kind of rooting against the Pax Bros at this point, because I hated what Phil was saying the other night. He was like, you know, this is our game. This is the best, you know, this is the best day of my life. I'm in the Big Brother house. I'm the best player. I'm Derek. Yeah. ugh, like all this stuff. I was just like, oh, that is, I don't like that at all. I know
this is my problem. This is my problem is that what he's saying about, you know, we're going to, we want a Canadian to win. We're going to nominate the internationals. By the way, the first 2 weeks of the House, they didn't say the internationals. They called them the foreigners, but Big Brother made them call them the internationals. So it just sounds, it feels very anti-immigrant to me. And I don't think that Phil really understands how he's coming off. I think he thinks he's coming off as really, you know, pro-Canadian. Canada loves us. They voted for us. Again, I think that whole vote thing was the worst thing for the brothers because in their mind, they were the ones who won that competition. They don't really know what we know, which was Nikki Graham was like 50% and the brothers were like 15%. They literally think that Canada loves them. What the reality is that the producers kind of like them. And if you don't think that the producers kind of like the brothers, you need to look no further than the competitions for tonight's episode, where mysteriously the veto competition and the HOH competition look like mirror images of each other. I mean, like, I don't know about you, but I can't remember the last time I ever saw a veto competition where it was, you know, let's identify this speech and the last one out wins the veto. That's an HOH competition. The physical thing about throwing the ball down the lane, that's a veto competition. Historically. Now, maybe these things were in place before the episode, but I have to believe, considering that the brothers had no shot at veto, that the competitions were switched, and considering that Tim and Joel and Nikki and Kelsey were the only people who were going to compete in the HOH competition, I didn't even have to watch the competition. I knew Nick was going to win it because it's a physical competition that involves hand-eye coordination. Obviously, Nick is going to be the best at that. And maybe you guys can't say that, but
I personally thought it was Joel, personally.
You know, no way.
That wingspan, I thought.
He couldn't even get the ball down the lane. Come on, what are you talking about?
Isn't Joel has the greatest wingspan of any house guest?
You see
ever,
Joel
seriously.
And you think coordinated?
No, it's a joke. It's a joke. But yes. Yeah. I mean,
so
I
we don't have to go on about that, but they win.
We don't have to go on about that. Right. And again, we've talked Brent. This is what happens when you and I are on the same show six episodes in a row. which isn't this crazy, Brent? I said, I was like, yeah, you know, no Brent on the next show. But Brent,
right here.
Can't get enough of Brent Wolgamott. Here
you know, the one thing that my ranting about the brothers aside, the one thing that's going to get lost in all of this, and I really don't want it to, I want Taryn to help me out, is the amazing work of Cassandra in reintegrating herself with the brothers, getting them to unbelievably trust her after she just nominated them 4 days ago. I want to give her some props.
Please. Yeah, that was amazing. An amazing night from Cass. I mean, just to say, before we talk, get into that. I mean, such a great job that she's done lately. And tonight, especially, she really shined bright like a Frankie in this episode. Taryn, what did Cassandra do in terms of work prior to this episode on the feeds to get the brothers to really trust her?
You know, I think she did a decent job. I don't want to say it was like crazy good because we're talking about the brothers. basically she just apologized for putting them up and said we should work together. And they were like, yeah, yeah, we're down with that.
No, but there was more to that, though, Taryn. There was a lot of emotion behind it. And Jared really helped her because of Jared's behavior. Yeah, you know, she was like, I can't believe I did this. I should just put his ass up right away. I'm so sorry, you guys. I love you guys. I should have trusted you from the beginning. And they bought it hook, line, and sinker. And you could see how pissed they were when she won the veto and then quickly decided that I'm going to backstab the brothers and there's nothing they can do about it. Love that move.
Amazing, amazing move. And then even in the commercial, when they're like, you know, don't use it. She's like, well, have I said anything yet? Of course, I'm going to stay loyal to you. Of course I am. And then Arissa comes on and she's like, yeah, I'm going to use the veto. Here you go. Save Tim. Amazing.
I think she was on the fence about that. I think she wanted to talk with Joel about, you know, who are we evicting? But I don't think she trusted Joel to evict Nikki. So that's why she ended up using the veto on Tim. In an ideal world, I think Cassandra would like to not use the veto, keep the brothers' trust, and evict Nikki. But I think she was worried that Joel was going to evict Tim instead of Nikki, who was Joel's ace in the hole. I don't know what Joel would have done, But that's interesting.
Taryn, what do you think? Do you think Joel would have taken the shot and taken out Tim?
It's hard to know because looking at it from Joel's perspective, he should take out Tim. He's got Nikki in his back pocket. He takes out Tim. He is now the center of that alliance, and still nobody will be coming after him. The brothers will be happy that he took out Tim instead of Nikki. Cass will have to work with him. She doesn't have another option. It puts him in a great spot. I don't know if he was thinking that way. I do know that he was actively trying to make sure he had Nikki in his back pocket. But was he going to be bold enough to cut Tim in that way? I don't know. It's impossible to know.
Okay, let's talk about Brent. You were mentioning earlier you were upset with production for the competitions. Personally, I don't think that they did anything with that. I think that was planned because those are two easy, fast comps. It works in a double, and I honestly think, and maybe I'm naive, I honestly think that they have all that stuff pre-planned before the season starts.
Oh, before the season? Oh, okay.
Right. However,
okay.
We have to talk about the "Are you sure?" line from Arissa. I don't know if that was production. I don't know if that was a genuine mistake from Arissa. I love Arissa to death. She's amazing, but that was not a good look for me as a fan watching that. And I'm so distraught. I'm moving my laptop and my camera everywhere. What was that? Are you sure? Are you sure? Like, you can't say that if the brothers say they want to nominate themselves. Shouldn't and they just go on the block, Brent?
And it's allowed. If it's allowed, and I tweeted this to Arissa, which from her answer, it seemed to be to me that they were going to allow it. Like, because if it's not allowed, then she would just say, well, you're not allowed to do that. But she said, are you sure? So, I mean, if it's allowed, why are you asking them a second time? They said they wanted to nominate themselves. Let them put themselves on the block. If they want to make a boneheaded move and give up their shot at $100,000 for some bullshit integrity thing that they think they have when they've been playing both sides since the beginning of this game, I can't help you. I really don't. Taryn, help me out.
I feel like what probably happened was they said they wanted to nominate themselves, and Arissa was like, oh my God, I don't know what to do here. And so she stalled for time by saying, are you sure? Like, this is so shocking. And then she got lucky that they eventually said, no, we don't want to, because she wasn't sure what was going to happen. Otherwise, she probably would have had to consult somebody. We do know that Tim was talking about nominating himself earlier in the season when he was HOH, and he claimed that production told him he wasn't allowed to. And I assume that if that was not if that was untrue, production would have said you can't use production as a strategy. So it seems as though they probably wouldn't have been allowed to, even if they had continued to go through with it.
Here's the thing. Okay. In terms of the rules. Okay. And here's some little inside baseball. I can say this. And if not, apologies, Big Brother Canada, I'll shut this video down for whatever. But the rules to Big Brother are that you cannot nominate yourself if you are HOH. If you're in that house, you are not allowed. So yes, what Tim said, that is like that. Apparently, like that is the rule. I think that is legit. And I think I'm with Taryn on this one. I think that Arissa was probably just like in her head, oh crap, is that allowed? I don't really know. Should this happen? So it comes across poorly. I don't know. I think honestly, though, I do think when push comes to shove, if someone really wanted to nominate themselves, I think production would let them do it. I think they would. I don't know this for a fact, but I think they would. So
it would have been amazing television. And I don't know why. I don't know why production
let them do it.
I don't understand. Why is production so invested in the brothers at this point? Can someone please tell me that? I mean, I guess they're fun. Certainly Phil is very fun. I don't know if you guys saw Phil in the feeds this week. They got into a fight like 2 days ago, or maybe it was yesterday actually. And every time Nicholas opened up his mouth, Phil was like, Nicholas, you're not allowed to talk. I talk strategy. You shut up. And then he's like, you're being emotional right now. And Nicholas is like, I'm not being emotional. Yes, you are. Hush up right now. You're not allowed to talk. Like, it was like, why is this person even in the house? He's not allowed to talk. It was so fabulous.
Well, Brent, it's to win the comps and the doubles. That's what Nick does.
Yeah. He wins. Phil hasn't won anything besides the veto that was handed to him.
Exactly. Nick wins the veto in the fake double. He wins the HOH in the real double. So that's his job. He's the brother that wins the comps when it matters most. And, you know, Phil's Derek. He's Derek Levasseur, apparently.
I feel like production has the same, you know, affinity for the brothers that they do with all of their twists, where no matter what anyone says, they love their twists, and the brothers are one of their twists. And so they're just going to keep pushing them until everyone hates everything.
Yeah. Well, now they're in a tough spot, though, because they won HOH. They didn't really get out the target that they wanted to. Now Tim and Cass and Joel are completely united in trying to get the brothers out of the house. The brothers cannot play for HOH. They have to win veto. I mean, the only way they don't have to play for veto is if Kelsey wins. But even then, they're in some danger because Kelsey can only nominate two people. And if that third person who's not on the block wins the power of veto, then she has to nominate the brothers. And you know, the three of them are going to work together to try to get that done if that comes to pass.
Are we at a point now in the game where someone like Joel, should Joel consider maybe, because right now he's in this alliance, the freak show with Cassandra and Tim, should he consider maybe flipping to go over with Kelsey and the brothers, or would that be a mistake for Joel at this point?
Well, I think he should throw head of household number one, because he's in absolutely no danger at a final five. I mean, there's two pairs on either side. Every pair is going to vote to evict the partner of the other pair. There is no scenario that I can see where he would ever go home. So I think he should definitely throw head of household, but just not tell anybody that he's doing it. Whoever wins head of household, you know, I don't know. I mean, Joel has been shown effectively to be able to float between both sides. Even in this eviction, even though he had voted to evict Jared, he was able to maintain some relationships with the brothers and Kelsey. You saw that the brothers were just hamstrung. They did not want to nominate Joel, and they finally wanted to nominate themselves before they nominated Joel. So he's done a good job of that. But if Kelsey wins head of household, Tim and Cass are going to be the nominees. If Tim or Cass or Joel wins head of household, then it's going to be the Pax brothers and Kelsey.
Taryn, give me your thoughts on that. Lots of stuff to unpack there.
Well, Joel is in the position that is very enviable for this final five. It was where Godfrey was sitting at final five, where he doesn't need to take a side. He doesn't need to flip. He can just continue to play the middle, throw the competitions. As soon as, you know, one of those pairs is, like Brent said, one of those pairs is going to get out in this final five. And then moving forward, the other pair is going to be the target. And as long as he follows that formula, he should absolutely not stay loyal to whatever pair continues on to the final four. Because he shouldn't go to the end with a pair like that. He should be looking at taking Kelsey or probably the brothers over Tim or Cassandra to the final two. So whichever pair ends up lasting further, he should be looking at, I want to connect with Kelsey, or I want to connect with the brothers and make sure that we're going to the final two together. And I think he can do that. He's positioned well enough. He handled the whole situation with voting Jared out well enough that Jared wasn't mad at him leaving the game. Kelsey was still happy with him. The brothers were still happy with him. Everybody's happy with him. All he needs to do is ride down the middle, and he should be he looks like he's in the best spot of the game right now.
Yeah, I said this. I've said this multiple times recently. Joel's winning. It's done deal. He's going to win. I thought tonight was the only scenario in which he could go home with where he was at, being on the block against Nikki and potentially having them vote him out in that scenario. But even then, he wasn't really in any danger. So should be interesting to see for Joel, much to the chagrin of Brent, seeing Joel.
I mean, he's growing on me. Again, I don't understand the hemming and hawing and, you know, what you saw in the episode tonight. That's exactly why he annoys me, when he won't talk to anybody. And anytime anybody in the Big Brother house has a victim attitude, that's when they start to lose me. Like, I'm like, you're playing the best game in the world, and you're just acting like a total spoiled brat. Like, you know, like, oh, boo-hoo, someone said something mean to you. Probably wasn't true because they're trying to get their way. Like, grow up, man. And what is with that bandana that he's wearing the wrong way? He looks like Aunt Jemima. I tweeted that earlier. Like, why? Like, you don't wear. Why are you wearing a bandana like that? Is that? Did somebody tell him that that looked cool or something? Like, I don't understand. For chat room, tell me. Like, why is he wearing it like that with it tied up over his head? It looks terrible.
Well, Matt Ligori in the chat says he's the third Nolan twin, Brent.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
I think that's actually a pretty good assessment there. Thank you, Matt, for that. Okay, guys, let's take some of everyone's questions in the chat. There has been a little bit of a glitch, so I can't see all of the old questions. So if you want to get a question in, send it right now, and I will check it, and I will read it on the air, most likely. This has really been a night of glitches all across the board. So you can also tweet me, use hashtag #RehappyHour. And we can get into that. Tyler Fredrickson says, horrible night for tech issues. Tyler, I'm sorry. I wish I knew what I was doing.
I have a question.
We're trying. Go ahead,
Ashley, Ashley's dream board wanted to know, would a Kelsey and the Brothers final two be the least deserving final two in North American BB history?
Ooh. Geez. Ryan and A Baller in Big Brother 9?
Yeah, I don't agree. I think, you know, obviously Kelsey being in the final two would be a complete travesty.
But
Darren,
if the bros get there, though, I mean, hats off to them. Seriously, if the bros pull this off
with some help from production.
They deserve to win. Taryn?
I mean, I feel like the only way the brothers are getting there is if they win out, which is not the most interesting thing in the world. So, yeah, it would be up there as one of the more disappointing ones. Obviously, Jordan and Natalie was a pretty disappointing one. I mean, at least for me.
Scrappy Doo?
Yeah, and Big Brother 13 maybe too.
don't get Brent started on BB 13 again. Yeah. Okay. All right. Wow. So lots of questions here. Now the problem is too many of them are coming in here.
That's okay. Just read them.
So here we go. This one is from VMCVAS16. Should Cass have used the veto? I'm going to change this one. Could Cass have gotten away without using the veto? Taryn, what do you think?
Oh, well, again, it comes down to what Joel would do. And I feel like she might have a better read on what he would do than even I would, because she's the one that's been talking to him this whole time. He's never really outright said what his plans are. He's never even really told her if he plans on, you know, staying more loyal to Tim than Nick. I mean, they have talked about taking Nikki out if need be. But it's like, how genuine is that? I feel like it's probably worth the risk to not use the veto. I feel like that's probably the move. Don't piss off the brothers. Trust that Joel isn't going to stab you in the back. I don't think he would have. I think I'm going to put my stake down there. I don't think he would have done it. I think it was too bold a move. I don't think he would have turned his back on Cass. I think he's really loyal to her. So I think she could have gotten away with not using that veto, and she would have been in a better place for it.
Like, no offense, but I heard a lot of I think in there where, you know, Cass is playing for $100,000 and she has a move that she can make right in front of her. I think that, you know, here's the thing. I think that she wasn't going to use the veto until the brothers started to strong arm her. And what they misread the situation. What she was really doing was she was talking with Joel about, well, you know, are you going to evict Nikki? Otherwise, you know, then I won't use the veto. But she couldn't really have that conversation with Joel because the brothers were, you know, constantly talking with her. And that's when she started to get irritated. And I think by then she thought, you know, the train has left the station. The brothers, you know, it's obvious to me that they don't trust me. I'm not sure what Joel's going to do. I need to just go ahead and save Tim here. We're down to the final five, and the brothers can't play for HOH next week anyway. It's obviously slim to none odds that Kelsey's going to win HOH. So let's go for it. I think that's why her play was her play.
I have a question for you guys that I haven't seen come up in the chat. We saw in the episode last night that Cassandra won a one-on-one strategy session with Sarah Hanlon. We never saw that on the show. Taryn, what do we think about that?
Well, it was released on the website. I didn't get a chance to check it out.
Oh, it was on the website. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know how cut up it was. Because again, I ditched my VPN a long time ago. So, apparently the takeaway was Sarah basically told her, like, target Jared and also said everyone in the game is actively trying to win. So basically, don't buy Tim's nonsense about not trying to win, which I thought was, you know, a bit more than should be revealed, considering that's like a basic, like the fundamental tenet of Tim's entire strategy. But, you know, it's Big Brother Canada. So, you know, it's terrible, but I'm not going to harp on it that much.
Yeah, Big Brother Canada, man, it's the outside influence. I think it's here to stay. We saw that a lot this week. I'm not a fan of that either. Is it the worst thing that has ever happened? No. But yeah,
I think it was a whole lot of nothing. I mean, Cass was gonna target Jared anyway.
It's the Tim thing that I'm not happy about. But you know what? Guess what? She used the veto on Tim tonight anyway. She would have done that without that information. So I don't think it's really going to affect the game too much. We will see down the stretch what happens. But we already saw Cass before that say, hey, Joel's my number one anyway. So, I mean, as much as people are going to get, upset about production and, outside interference and all that kind of stuff, there's nothing we can do about it now. And, I don't really think there's
right. I think everybody kind of understands. Everybody understands that Tim is there to win the game. He's playing hard. I mean, come on, you guys. Everybody understands that. I don't think Sarah revealed anything that was earth shattering.
I mean, he really does play hard on the like he tells Cass and Joel, like, if you guys want to take each other to the end, to the final two, I'm fine with that. Like, Even just one-on-one conversations, he's like, you genuinely don't have to take me. You can take Joel. I'm fine with that. Like, he really harps.
Do you think that's bad strategy? Because I feel like that's bad strategy on his part, to giving her an out like that.
It could be. I don't think she's the kind of person that would choose to take him because she feels guilty, like just because she didn't have an out. So I'm not sure that it would change her mind either way. I think the point is to get it into their heads that maybe he isn't here to win. Maybe he is maybe slightly easier to beat than somebody who's a little more competitive, who's really going to be trying and being like, yeah, let us two to the end. I think that's where he's coming from. I don't know how effective it would be, but obviously I would prefer to see that strategy, you know, go unhindered by outside interference to see which way it lands.
One more question before we jump into the spoilers. This one's from at Ryan Hill. He says, are you guys mad that this season is coming down to comps instead of strategy? This is something that I didn't really anticipate, but I guess this is what happens when you leave the Pax Bros and Jared and, you know, Tim and all these big physical threats left in the game so late. So what are your thoughts on that, Taryn?
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, right? Where it's I feel like the first half of the season was super strategic. There were so many things that were set up. There were the two sides, there was the middle, and then we quickly in succession we get Mitch leaving the game, and then Tim kind of starts to take over Mitch's game, but then kind of blows it up with the whole target Jared, don't target Jared thing. And from that point on, it's really just been which side is going to win the most competitions. And that can be fun. I think the people in the house, they are entertaining enough that it's not the worst thing in the world. We're still seeing arguments. We're still seeing drama, and the characters are entertaining. They're fun to watch. We have a side that we're rooting for and a side that we're rooting against. So it hasn't killed the show, but obviously for somebody like me who wants to watch it for the strategy, it's a bit disappointing down the stretch where it's just like, who's going to win the most competitions?
Well, for somebody like me, who's clearly rooting for one side or the other, it's freaking great, because there's clearly a side of good and justice on the side of Tim and Cass and Joel. And there's the side of evil and arrogance on the side of Kelsey and the brothers. By the way, we didn't see a goodbye message from Phil and Nick. And I was thinking, I said this on Twitter, that it was probably because Phil proposed marriage to Jared in his goodbye speech, and that's why they didn't want to show it, because he's just been loving Jared for the past week. Like, he's totally been up his ass.
Oh my gosh. Okay,
shade
Shade. Okay, let's talk about the spoilers. So if you guys do not want to know, and there are, correct me if I'm wrong, there are spoilers at this point, right?
Yes, yep. There's spoilers.
Okay, sweet. I have not checked, so thank you. That is good to know. So if you do not want any spoilers, now would be the time to check out. Thank you so much for joining us on this blab tonight. Apologies for all of the technical issues, but I think we figured things out pretty well. So it is spoiler time. We will see you Sunday night after the episode. I will be joined by Willow McDonald from Big Brother Canada 3. And we will recap the new HOH, the nominations, the aftermath of this double eviction, all that good fun stuff. Hope to see you there. All right, here we go. Spoiler time.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Taryn, what has happened? Who is the new HOH?
What the hell happened?
It's Kelsey.
What the hell?
It's Kelsey.
Seriously.
No!
What was this goddamn nail polishing competition? Jesus Christ. What?
The one person.
Oh,
no, no, no.
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness. Kelsey is the HOH.
They had one job. One job.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, no. This is not good for Tim and Cassandra. But this is good if you like the back and forth of the show, which I actually am excited that this happened because, as Jorge Alvarado was saying in the chat, this is good TV. Whoa, big news. Kelsey is HOH.
So let's break this down.
Yeah, so Brent, break it down for me.
This validates Tim and Cass's decision to keep Joel rather than Nikki. Can you imagine if they go into a final five with Nikki as their third? Obviously, Kelsey's going to nominate Tim and Cass. If they depended on Nikki to win the veto and get them off the block, that would be insanity. Now, Tim and Cass are going to be the nominees, most
Tim
likely, obviously. Tim and Cass, right? Joel is going to be off the block. The brothers can still go home. I love it after all of this non-rigging that there is still a way for the brothers to go home on Kelsey's head of household. If Joel wins the veto, he can pull off Tim or Cass. It doesn't matter which one. The brothers are the only replacement nominee, and obviously they'd go out in that instance, and Kelsey can't play for HOH next week. Although then again, it's Big Brother Canada, and we can't have nice things in Big Brother Canada, so I'm not even preparing myself for that.
Well, if Joel can win this veto, I think that this will be one of the most memorable weeks for a lot of fans in Big Brother Canada history, just for the, like, crazy, like, up... Just, I mean, if the... From the double to the end of this upcoming week, if somehow Joel wins, saves one of them, the Pax Bros go home, I mean, it is going to be
let's break it down, though. Should he win it? Because if he wins it, then the Pax Brothers are most likely out, and then he's in the final four with a pair in Tim and Cass. It depends on how Joel sees them, though. And Kelsey, who's an obvious goat. So, I mean, would he be nervous?
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the thing. If you're Joel at that point, Cass has already said Joel's her number one. So if you're going in, if the Pax Bros are gone and you're Joel, okay, going into the final four, here's who you're going up against. You're going up against Tim, Kelsey, and Cassandra. Tim may be more of competition threat than you know, the other two, but I think Joel can easily beat Kelsey or Cassandra in any comp towards the end. He's proven capable in the past.
Yeah.
And all you got to do is get rid of Tim. If he gets rid of Tim, he's in the final three with Kelsey and Cass. I think Joel's going to the end of this game. I think Joel's going to win. Taryn, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think he should stick with Tim and Cass if he can. Obviously, it's not the end of the world if that doesn't happen. But he has more options with Tim and Cass because he has such a good relationship with Cass. Whereas there is a chance with Kelsey and the brothers that the brothers might not take him to the final two. Taking the brothers out, Kelsey, I believe, would take him to the final two. She had a conversation with Jared about it. Jared told her to do that. So
this is the move for Joel. This is what he has to do. Joel,
exactly.
Joel, I'm channeling my inner energy to you right now, which is maybe not
me
the greatest
too.
Energy.
Joel,
we all are.
I'm a... Yes.
We're sending good vibes to you, Joel. Win this veto, and you're going to win the game. Right?
Big Brother 5 all over again.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Win the veto. Rectify this universe. The universe has gone off its axis at this point. We're in it. I can't even believe. What was this, a nail polishing competition? What? How did Kelsey win HOH? How did this happen? Well,
she has been studying a lot on the feeds. She has been nonstop with that stuff.
At Bruno's thumb has a spoiler. Apparently, it was a smoking comp.
Okay, well that makes sense. I'm sorry, you guys. She's such a bitch. She was such a bitch this week. She really was. I mean, and she's not even playing with strategy. That's the thing. You guys think I'm hating on her because of that. I'm not. She was trying to save Jared against her own best interest. She cannot beat Jared in the final two. I mean, I don't understand why she was trying to save him. I guess she was trying to make it look good, but she really wanted to save him. And that was not going to help her moving forward. I think her best bet at this point was putting Jared on the jury, not having someone like Jared there because she can't beat him, and going to the end with, you know, maybe Cassandra, maybe the brothers. I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like it would have been better for her to have Jared. He would have remained a target ahead of her.
I feel like the brothers are still a target.
I agree with that.
She doesn't need two.
It doesn't hurt to have two.
I
don't think she was thinking that way though. I don't think she was thinking about what was.
Oh,
best
clearly
for
not.
Her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And obviously, you know, she was evicted. Like, I've been done with her since then.
Right.
So.
Yeah. She's been evicted. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with the brothers. I don't think she can win the game, but I hope not. She can't win the game, right?
I don't know. I don't know what Mitch would do. Mitch said he would vote for her if she got to the end. Raul's on the jury. Jared's on the jury.
But I feel like now that Nikki's gone, like, who? Jared and Mitch and Raul. That's
I think
great.
That I think the jury may not see Cassandra the same way that we see her, and that makes me really, really nervous.
But here's the difference. I've heard this before. People are saying, oh, you know, Cassandra, you know, like Godfrey last season, Cassandra hasn't won comps, whatever. Cassandra's won a veto now. Cassandra has won an HOH, which, hey, Godfrey started winning competitions toward the end. But Cassandra's built, I think, stronger social relationships with everybody from the start of the game. And I think people have been catching on to what Cassandra's been doing, whereas Godfrey just did such a good job of convincing everyone he was doing nothing, especially in the early game. I think that's where the disconnect is. Am I wrong, Taryn?
Well, I feel like it's less of what Godfrey was doing and more of what Sarah had done for her, in the sense that, like, Sarah had so many twists back to back to back. I mean, she was responsible for taking out... her and Brittany were responsible for taking out like six people in a row. So when Godfrey is sitting next to her, it feels like, what has Godfrey done? Where when we're looking at Sarah, who's taken out six people in a row. I don't think that's going to happen with Cass, especially if she's next to Kelsey. I think Kelsey might have a chance if she's up against the brothers, just because the brothers might just, like, I can imagine them in the final two saying, listen, guys, we were really undercover cops the whole time because we're Derek and we just dominated. okay.
Wait, let's examine this. Is Cass in any danger this week? I think she could be in some
absolutely.
Danger.
Absolutely. Absolutely, well, she's in danger because
what has to happen for that to happen?
Okay, Cass and Tim go on the block.
Yes.
Tim wins veto.
Yeah.
Cass goes home.
Yeah.
Simple.
Yeah.
Or Tim pulls a rabbit out of the hat and they say, look, Cass has won some of these comps. Cass is in the middle of this, you know, alliance between him and or between Tim and Joel. If we get rid of Cass, then maybe we can pull Joel over to us. I think that might be something that they're thinking as well. So I think Cass is definitely in trouble, which is for me as a fan of hers. I'm not too pleased about that.
I'm not pleased about it either. I'm hoping that she'll be able to use what Jared said. You know, he's not going to vote for Cass. I'm hoping that she'll be able to say, look, I'm incredibly unlikable. No one's ever going to vote for me at the end. And I really can't. I'm not a comp threat. You know, obviously you should get rid of Joel. He hasn't pissed anybody off. People are going to like him. I feel like now that we're close to the money, somebody might actually think with their head instead of their butt for once and say to themselves, you know what? I probably need to get rid of Joel here. Reminds me a lot of Ian. Reminds me a lot of Steve. Hasn't pissed anybody off. Has stayed in the middle. I know I like the guy, but I'd rather take the goat in their eyes, not in, she's not really a goat, but they would perceive Cass to be a goat, and they would probably hopefully evict Joel in that instance. I'm hoping. Well,
the thing about Joel's position though is that, like, no matter what happens, it's always a bad move to take him out because you're leaving a pair in the game.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So Tim can't win veto. Yeah, needs to be really, Joel.
And I, from what I've been able to glance so far, it seems as though Tim may be the target over Cass, despite her using the veto. But I could really see that going either way, especially with a whole week to go back and forth for Tim to tell everyone, hey, guess what? Cass and Joel are a lot closer than you think. You need to take them out. They're the real pair. So it could go either way. It looks like Tim is probably the main target. But again, if he switches the target or if he wins the veto, I think we're seeing Cass leave.
I need Joel to win the veto and see the brothers totally nervousing. I need this. I love it when Phil is nervous because they just continually blab to each other about how awesome they are. It's such great feeds. I love it.
We're the best. We're running this game. This is the best day of my life.
Yeah, we've got this, bro. We got this. You know, and I mean, no one can touch us, man.
And I'm going to talk because, you know, I was very arrogant when I was in the house, too. And I think that a lot of, you know, it's easy to get that way when you have someone who you're tight with and you can talk to all the time. But I think they're going to regret it after the season when they go back and watch all this stuff. Okay, let's take a couple more questions before we wind things down tonight. We are in Blab, so we can take a video question because Alex, and the real story for why Alex couldn't come tonight was his Wi-Fi isn't working. So
Comcast.
Yeah, exactly. So because Alex's internet is down, he's not here. So if anyone wants to ask a video question, you're more than welcome to. If you got a webcam and headphones, feel free to hop on and you can ask your question live in person.
Yeah, come on, talk to us.
To Taryn, Brent, and I. You can just continue to send in your questions via text, whatever works out the best. So we're going to continue with that. Someone in the chat says, is Tyler Cocuno here tonight? I don't know if Tyler Cocuno is in the chat, but Tyler Cocuno had a question.
Tyler Cocuno is not allowed on these podcasts until he refutes his position on Mitch.
Okay, well, getting a question asked because
we don't want Tyler because he trolls us and he roots for Kelsey and the brothers. We don't need that.
Well, speaking of the brothers and speaking of Tyler Cocuno, this is Tyler's question at @Survivor_Tyler on Twitter. He says, "What are the chances the bros go on a comp run and win out? I'm praying for it." Yeah, what do you guys think about that? What are the chances? That because now I feel like the brothers, I mean, as long as Joel doesn't win this week, they should be safe. So right. If they go and win through final four and final three, I feel like that's pretty doable. The brothers can get to the end.
Yeah, it's very doable. As long as Joel doesn't win veto, I think that they have a glide path almost to the end. I mean, maybe I shouldn't say a glide path, but I think, you know, look, I think there's going to be a car fixing competition coming up for Nick, probably most likely. I think that there's going to be a vanity and strategy competition coming up for Phil. So, you know, I mean, I think that they're rolling them out here for the brothers to win.
Okay, we got one question here. First person on
sarcasm.
First person on air is Casey. Casey, how's it going?
What's up, guys? Going well.
Hey!
Do you think Jared will have any influence on the jury at all? Because I say no, and I don't think Mitch is going to have it. Maybe Rail. What do you guys think?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I think I would agree with you on that one just because let's see who's in there. It's Maddie, who didn't really like Jared too much to begin with. Raul was in an alliance with him, but Mitch is pretty much his own person. Taryn, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't think Jared, he'll have control over Kelsey and the brothers if they're there. Other than that, I don't think he has control over anyone. Not Raul. Honestly, Raul spent all this time with Mitch, and there was a rift between Raul and Jared by the time Raul left the house anyway. So I feel like if anyone's going to have pull over Raul, it's probably going to be Mitch. So I see him controlling up to 3 votes, and that's it. If Kelsey and the brothers are both there.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. Raul is incredibly gullible. I mean, we're talking about a guy who threw the veto for his friend Jared,
right,
even though he could have clearly just won the veto himself and taken Jared off the block, and both of them have been safe. I mean, that's the person we're talking about here.
when it was Raul, Jared, and Mitch in the house, Raul was more loyal to Mitch than he was to Jared, and he was totally team Mitch more than
Jared. He put him up and got rid of him.
That was after Kelsey came back with the information.
Okay.
God, well, wasn't that such a mistake?
And Mitch has now told him about his 5 million followers.
Casey, go ahead. You had another question?
And that was the worst twist in BB Can history.
Wow, yes. There we go. That's it's calling
pretty bad.
Casey, hey guys, maybe a top five baby for the offseason. Worst twist in BB Can history.
I will say, you know, Taryn makes a good point that Raul did not know about Mitch's, you know, when he nominated him for eviction. Now that he's been in the jury house, and they basically confirmed it on the sideshow as well. They said, you know, what did you think when you found that out about Mitch? And Raul was like, oh, and in the interviews after, I've seen it in the interviews where they ask Raul, you know, what did you think about when Mitch exposed the fact that he's basically a quasi celebrity? And he's like, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe I was playing with a guy like that. And I'm like, Mary, calm down. It's not that big a deal. Like, I mean, you know,
he's got a science is pretty popular. Yeah,
I mean, Mitch, I love you, but you know, I mean, I was on The Price is Right. Come on. Like, yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. No worries, Casey. Thanks. Take care, man. Okay, so there goes Casey. That was a plus caller. Yeah, Casey, great job, man.
That was perfect.
Want to know how you do a call, yes. That's how you do it. Casey killed it. He was in and out very quick. That was awesome. So Casey,
2 minute man. We like those.
That was very good. So well done. We got another one here. This one's from Eric. Eric's calling in.
Hey guys.
Eric's been wanting blab forever.
Yeah, Eric has been waiting for the blabs for a long time. Eric and his son, Kieran, are here. Eric, hello, how's it going, man?
It's going okay. I do have a question for you, since I'm going to pipe off the last question that got in here. Because Mitch and his 5 million, you know, YouTube followers or YouTube viewers, is that more impressive than Frankie Grande?
I would say it's a lot more impressive than Frankie. Because Frankie... You know, he's got that. I think a lot of that was just because of Ariana Grande's fans kind of just jumping over to Frankie. Whereas Mitch, I think
that's not his brother.
Mitch built it from the ground up. He did it on his own by grinding on YouTube and creating these awesome videos. And if you haven't checked them out, guys, ASAP Science on YouTube, it's really good. So
I
would say, I would say that definitely more impressive. Brent, Taryn, are we in agreement on this one?
Yeah, and I'm reasonably certain that 5 million YouTube subscribers is worth a lot more monetarily than 1 million Twitter followers. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And he got them all on his own. I mean, come on, like, let's give it up for Mitch. Yeah.
Yeah.
We love ASAP Science.
Eric, thank you for the call, man. Appreciate it.
No problem. Good seeing you guys.
Take care.
Thanks, Eric.
Okay, so there goes Eric and his son, Kieran, making an appearance.
So adorable.
Yes, good times. Eric used to call in every Saturday on the Rahappy Hour when we used to be on, when we used to do the Survivor shows.
Yes.
We need to do
a Survivor show. Damn.
We do. Maybe after the Big Brother season. I think we've got like 1 week, so we can figure it out. But another conversation for another
time. If you're a guy and you're really cute, come on, call in right now and say hi to me.
Okay, we got one. This one's from Emma. Emma's calling in.
All right.
At Power Benito. Hey, Emma, how's it going?
Hey, Emma. How you doing?
Good. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. Wonderful.
Okay,
what's your question?
So I haven't been able to watch the live feeds that much this season, but what I was wondering if you guys could tell me like what Joel's game has been like, because I haven't really seen him do that much.
Okay. Taryn, what is Joel's game?
It's pretty much been, you know, he's attached himself to Cassandra from very early on. They had a secret deal going from probably week one, I think. He played the middle for a while. After Mitch left, the week before Mitch left, he chose a side. He was lucky that Mitch left, because then his side took power. And he's pretty much ridden that down, kind of playing all sides, you know, staying neutral. Staying out of the spotlight, maintaining good relationships with people. And now he's in the position he is now, where it's, again, he's in the middle of these two pairs and he's kind of set to move forward. I don't know how much of it was by design, but he was always, you know, he always kept decent relationships with people and kept himself in a good enough position that he wasn't going to be targeted. So not super proactive, but good at staying alive and staying relevant in the game.
I think he also took a page out of Steve's book. He was basically very meek, really non-offensive, you know, made sure to stay in everybody's good graces, very non-threatening. Nobody ever views Joel as a threat, and yet people like him. They talk about liking him at the end, that he's a potential winner, but yet they don't view him as a threat. It's an amazing balance. Steve Moses tweeted about this earlier, where he's talking about you have to be bad enough to be taken to the end, but good enough to win at the end, and it's a really tough balance to make, and I think Joel's doing a pretty good job of that right now.
Okay.
Emma, thank you for the call. Oh, yeah, for sure. One more. Yeah, absolutely.
I was just going to say, do you think that he deserves to win more than Tim or Cass or anyone else?
I personally don't think he deserves to win more than either of those two if he's in the final two with Cass or Tim.
I would agree.
Brent, you're with me. Taryn, what do you think?
I disagree. I think they're all pretty even, to be honest. I think Tim and Cass, they have better strategic games, they have better social games, but they've made a lot of mistakes. They don't have good reads on the house sometimes, and they have a lot of blunders. Like Cass in particular, she's very passive aggressive. She, you know, people say she's a good social player. She's made decent relationships. But she's actually socially, she's very off-putting sometimes. And she gets into fights that she doesn't need to get into.
Like this week, she got into a fight she didn't need to get into with Jared and Kelsey and the brothers this week. It was pretty bad. I will say, this is the reason I would vote for Tim and Cassandra over Joel. Because Tim and Cassandra play the game with a flourish. And I respect that. They make good TV. They do. They realize, you know what? We're on a television show. Let's have a good time. You need look no further than Cassandra going in the diary room to vote tonight and literally cackling like the Wicked Witch of the West when she voted out Nikki after she just totally backstabbed the brothers by using the veto 5 minutes after she said that she wouldn't. So I that's a very Dan Gheesling kind of move to me, where you just totally lie to their face and you just laugh about it in the diary room. Like, I mean, Joel
in the diary room at people's face?
I don't know if he did
that's
or not,
the perception,
but it's
no.
That's not it. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that doesn't matter what he did. It's just that Joel doesn't have the panache that Tim and Cass have, and I really enjoy that on my TV screen.
Emma, thank you for the questions.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. Okay, so there goes Emma. Good question. Okay, we're going to take one more call, and then we're going to wrap things up. Quickly, a very interesting comment from our buddy Ari Ferrari in the chat. He said, Joel reminds him of a wacky, waving, inflatable arm tube man. You know, those guys that you see like at car dealerships. Well done. Well done by Ari. Okay. Hello, Thomas?
Yeah. I haven't been watching regularly.
Okay.
My question was, do you think Tim could somehow pull out a win at this point? Because I don't think so, because everybody's going to be gunning for him, especially with Kelsey winning HOH.
All right, so there we go. So can Tim win the game? I think he certainly can. Taryn, do you?
I do. I think he's obviously in a lot of trouble this week. But moving forward, you know, everybody's in a lot of trouble. It's like I said, it's coming down to the competitions. If he can win a couple competitions, then he'll be there and he'll win. Otherwise, I don't think he has any better or worse of a chance than really anyone else other than Joel.
One of two things has to happen. Either Tim must win the power of veto, or Joel must win the power of veto. If one of those two things doesn't happen, then Tim, girl, bye.
Thomas, thank you for your question.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So there goes Thomas. Okay. So that is going to do it for this edition of the Reality TV We're Happy
God.
Hour TV Can 4.
For real, can I, but before you go, let me just quickly say, like, this could have been such a great night. It could have been Jared and the brothers walking out the door. We would have a fabulous final five. Instead, they put this non-riggable HOH competition out there.
Are you sure, Brent? Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. Okay. Then not only do the brothers survive, but now there was some nail polishing competition and Kelsey is one head of household. So it's just like, we can't ever get what we want. It just bugs the living shit out of me. I don't understand why my life sucks this bad. God.
Oh, Brent just has the worst life. I mean, living with the doctor and all that kind of stuff. I mean, Brent's really, he's living, his life is, it's hard, Brent. It's tough. Hard. But you know what? If you just stay focused and you just believe in yourself, you can get through it. And right. I think you can do it, Brent. Tara, any final thoughts before we wrap up?
I thought this was a very fun podcast. I hope everyone enjoyed it. Despite the technical difficulties and the deja vu, I hope everyone had fun.
Yeah, I thought it was a really fun podcast. In terms of hashtags, I think – I don't know if we want to go with hashtag gayer than Raul. That's what people are saying in the chat.
Yes, gayer than Raul.
I don't know if we want to do that. Instead, I think we're going to go – I'm going to make the executive decision – hashtag are you sure? We're gonna go with hashtag are you sure? So let's do that. The secret hashtag. How about the secret hashtag is hashtag gayer than Raul? But we'll
the
go.
Secret hashtag is just another hashtag.
Yes, the official hashtag. The official hashtag is are you sure? Okay, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. Just to set things up for you, we'll be back Sunday night with Willow McDonald from Big Brother Canada 3 to recap the Sunday night episode and all that great stuff. Brent's been on for 7 episodes in a row, so I imagine Brent will probably be there with us as well. But who knows? It's a new week and anything can happen. Do not forget tomorrow, Friday, Rob Sesternino will be back on Rob as a Podcast, talking to Derek Lavasser, the winner of Big Brother 16, to see if he really is like the Pax Bros. Taryn Armstrong, I believe, will be joining him, unless Taryn's really nice and decides to give his spot up to Alex since Alex can be here. But no. Looks like Taryn's throwing him under the bus. So Taryn and Derek will be live with Rob tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Should be a really good show. And they're going to be 2 exit interviews there as well. So Rob's going to have exit interviews with Nikki and Jared. Those will be played at the end of the podcast, the audio version of that podcast with Derek. Don't forget to subscribe to the Rahappy Hour. Go to robiswebsite.com/rahappyhour. And while you're there, leave a rating and review for the podcast. 3 people at the end of the season are going to get a Jordan Parhar related prize. And we're almost there. So get those ratings and reviews in. Make sure you leave a review and leave your name in the review. So if I do draw your name at the end of the season, I know who you are and I know who to reward with said prize. And also, while you're at it, go subscribe on YouTube. Check out this video. And that way you never miss any of the videos we do or the live Google Hangouts or any of that kind of stuff. A lot of great stuff over there. Okay, that's going to do it for this edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. For Brent Wolgamott and Taryn Armstrong, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag, are you sure? We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Peace out. The theme song of the Reality TV Rehappy Hour is written and performed by Ryan Elder. Check out more of his work at ryaneldermusic.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.